So for the next several weeks, we just started this recently. We're going to do a series called Back to the Basics. And the first section of that was the last 3 weeks talking about our Bibles and how important that was that we understood some things so that if you have questions, if you have doubts, remember, don't be afraid of those doubts. Run to those. And so for the next 3 weeks, we want to talk about the church. But as we start off this morning, I'm glad you're joining us online, those of you who are here, and it's a great day for those who weren't able to make it to be able to watch because of our weather, which has been great. I'm just going to make a comment. Person praying for snow, please stop, okay? We have enough. We have it piled everywhere, and we could, but there's so many other problems to tackle, okay? Let's work on those, okay? If you haven't known this yet, words can lose their meaning or totally change their meaning over time. And you can look these up, and these are quite interesting. I'm going to give you one example this morning, and it's the word awful. Now, when we think of the word awful, we think of it in a very negative way. You know, that movie was awful. Why did I have to sit through it, okay? That dinner was awful. I will never go back to that restaurant. When we think of the word awful, we think of it in a negative way. But that's not how the word started off. The word started off really meaning full of awe, okay? Which full of awe is a good thing. Awe is an incredible thing. So that's what it used to mean. And over time, I don't know what happened, it just kind of drifted to being a positive word, full of awe, to a negative word. It is just awful. And what replaced it and is in our vocabulary now is the word awesome, okay? Awesome replaced awful. And awful went to the negative side, and if something's really bad, that's what we call it. And when something's really good, we would call it awesome. The same concept about the word awe. Now, if that can happen, it certainly can happen in our vocabulary as followers of Jesus, vocabulary that we thought we knew what it meant, and it changes over time, including this word, church. You'd grab a dictionary and you'd open it up, or you would Google what is the dictionary said church is. This is the definition you get. A building used for public Christian worship, right? That's probably what most of us think about. You watch online, it's probably what most of you think about when you think about the word church. Oh, it's a building. And so this morning, some of you got up and you are watching church, and some of you got up and you came to church, and you think I came to a building. However, for the first like 400 years of Christianity, there are no buildings. There are no buildings. There are no buildings just set aside for that purpose. So many of the early church met in homes together, okay? Because that was the simplest thing to do. They'd have somebody in their congregation who was wealthy. They would have a large kind of area in their house, and they would meet there. In fact, you can find some examples in the Bible about that. In the New Testament, Paul thanks some individual people and the church in their home, okay? So there's no buildings, but isn't it odd that we've moved down the road and the one thing that we think defines the church is the word building? And I'm hoping to be able to remind us over the next few weeks some really simple truths about the church. Today we start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So you can turn there, you can follow along on the screen, you can follow along on your screens at home. All the verses will be there. This is a passage in which Paul, who loves the Corinthians, he has gone there, he has seen people come to know Christ, they've kind of formed these churches together, he has left people in charge, and now he's got to write back to them, because there's some things they're doing well, there's some things they're struggling with, and the church, the concept of the church, is something that they're struggling with. And we're going to see some of their struggles. But as we read this morning, you're going to notice there's no talk of a building here, okay? There's no talk of a building, okay? When you build your church, okay, there's no talk of that at all. In fact, it's all about this concept that Paul is going to introduce us to, the Corinthians to, and to us, and remind us that the church really is the best description. It is a body. The picture, the best picture to help us understand it is a body. Okay? So follow along. We're going to walk through these verses this morning. For just as the body is one and yet has many members. Now, he's going to explain what he means by all of this as he's walking through. But this is going to be his analogy to help them understand what the church is. And it's his analogy to help us, you know, thousands of years later, understand what the church is. And all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So too is Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. This is just going to be his push to get us to understand this. Okay? Get off of a concept. For us, it'd be get off the concept of a building, get onto the concept of a body. Okay? And this idea of one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we are all made to drink of one spirit. Now here he's talking about the natural divisions they saw in their church. And what were they? Well, as they gathered together, hey, there's a Jewish person and there's a non-Jewish person, which they call the Gentile. There's somebody who is a slave. There's somebody who is free. Sometimes in the early church, the person that owned the slave and the slave sat next to one another as they gathered together. That was just a unique and incredible situation. In fact, there was no place like it in the world at that point, where you have these two totally different social economic groups sitting together. And he says, you know what? All those titles, they drop when we are together. Because we are one body, okay? So don't think of yourself by titles. Don't think of yourself by groups. Nope. You belong to Jesus. We are one body. This is what he's going to push us to remember. For in fact, the body is not a single member, but many. You can understand it. If the foot says, since I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, okay? It does not lose its membership in the body because of that, okay? Now he's trying to get us to understand what's happening in Corinth and what can happen in our gatherings as well. That there are times where our differences cause us to stay apart. And he says, wait a minute, the hand doesn't do that to the foot. Hey, I don't need you, okay? I don't need you. You're not like me. I don't need you, okay? We're probably glad we have feet this morning, right? And hands that came together and got us here, okay? But he's saying what's happening here is we're missing, as Paul would tell them, you're missing the diversity that happens, okay? You all want to have the same things and be the same thing, and yet what makes the church is we are one body. We have all this diversity, but we are one body. Continues. If the ear says, since I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Okay, that would be odd. That would be weird, right? It does not lose membership in the body because of that. So these are kind of his words. It doesn't cease to become part of your body because of that. And it would be kind of weird, right, if you were just all eyes. That would just be odd. We could just own this morning. This is what he's trying to get them to understand. Because they're just stumbling over this thing that they're different and they have differences. And quite often in Corinth, they were all trying to be the same thing and have the same gifts. And he says, you are forgetting that this is a body and there's going to be lots of diversity. And that is good. It's not bad. If the whole body were an eye, that would be weird, okay? I think Paul just meant to put that in there, okay? That would just be weird. That would be weird. But he says, what part would do the hearing? Well, that's an important piece, don't you think? That's what he's saying. If you're all one, you're missing something. You're trying to be the same thing and do the same thing and have the same gifts, then you're missing something else. If the whole body were an ear, again, that would be weird. What part would exercise the sense of smell? Again, that would be weird. It'd be odd. And he's saying, if you're all trying to be the same thing, you are going to be missing out on something. You're going to be missing out. But as a matter of fact, God has placed each of the members in the body just as he has decided. That means God has gifted you. And instead of just saying, why did he give me this gift? Okay, why can I have that gift? Now, the easiest one, okay, is to think about people leading worship, right? How many of you are like, man, I wish I could play guitar, right? I only play air guitar. That's all I know, okay? So I wish I could do that. I wish I could sing. And sometimes what happens is because we want somebody else's gifts, we forget, hey, wait a minute. God has created me. God has gifted me. Okay, so God hasn't given me this gift to be able to sing or play or lead worship. I don't have that gift. That does not mean I am any less loved by God. I am any less special to my Creator. That means He's given me different gifts. Because what if we all had that same gift? And we all just sat around with guitars and sang to one another. It would be kind of weird. It would. Okay? We would be missing a lot of things in the church if all of us just were able to do one thing. And we all had the same thing that we all did good. Instead, he says, do you know what I understand? When you look and you say, I don't like my gift, I want their gift. You are really placing blame on the Creator who has created you and gifted you. And you want to celebrate that gift. That gift is needed, that gift is necessary, and God's given you those gifts. Don't downplay your gift thinking, well, I'm not like somebody else. So I don't think I'm much. No. No, that's what he's trying to get them to understand. Do you understand? God has done that. God has gifted you, and he's placed you in the body as he decided to do that. And he knows your worth, and he knows your gifting, and he knows what he wants to see you accomplish in this body called the church. So the question could be this morning, do we do that? Do we actually use the gifts that God has given to us? Do we actually know what those gifts are? Or do we sit around and go, well, if I was like so-and-so, I'd use my gifts. If I had that gift, I would use it. Okay? If I and Corinth had the same problem that we see today, where there are certain gifts that everybody wants, and we downplay all the rest of them, and we forget that everybody has a part to play, and that God has created you and gifted you and put you here to be a part of this body. If they were all the same members, where would the body be? Where would it be? So now, there are many members, but there's one body, right? There's lots of diversity, there's lots of gifting, that's the way God does it, but we are one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. I don't need you. So he's saying in the church, we don't look at each other and say, I don't need you. We don't need your gifting. No, we need everybody's gifting. And everybody's gifting working together is what makes the church what it is. Nor in turn can the head say to the foot, I don't need you. Okay, your head would have a problem getting around, wouldn't it? If you didn't have feet. And he's just trying to get them to understand this. On the contrary, those members that seem to be weaker are essential. Now, I love the NET for using this word, okay? Because this is the word we've used a lot over the past year, isn't it? This is the year we've heard all sorts of important people with suits and ties or dressed real nicely standing in front of a microphone saying, you're essential and you're not essential, and you're essential and you're not essential, okay? That's why I really like this word. Because he's saying, do you understand? Even if you seem to, well, I just have this little gift, and I don't think it's much, and I don't think I can do anything with it. No. Those members that seem to be weaker are essential. Don't fool yourself into thinking you're not essential, that you're not needed in a church, that you're not needed to be a part of this body that we call Thrive Church. Don't fool yourself into thinking, oh, I must be non-essential. He says, no, on the contrary, don't you understand that? The members that seem to be weaker are essential. And those members we consider less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our unpresentable members are clothed with dignity. Again, given as a picture of how we deal with our own bodies. Why wouldn't we deal with the body of Christ the same way? But our presentable members do not need this. Instead, God has blended together the body, giving greater honor to the lesser member so that there may be no division in the body. Which is where he's trying to go in the beginning with this church in Corinth. They were struggling being divided over who had what gift, and they're more important because they have this gift, and we do this because they have that. And he's trying to eliminate all of that and say, no, that's not how we think about the church. But the members may have mutual concern for one another. Now, this is how we're supposed to operate, because we recognize our differences and that God has created us and that God has given us gifts and he's put us together in his body. Now we have mutual concern for one another. If, and this is an example, if one member suffers, everyone suffers with it. Okay? We don't look and say, well, yeah, that's a so-and-so and I don't have to pay attention to them. No, not in the church. It doesn't work that way. We may be able to have done that in society where we've just pushed certain people aside, not in the church. It says, you understand that? When one person suffers, we are all supposed to suffer with them and ask, how can we help? How can we serve? How can we be there for you? The church would look totally different if we just did this. We just suffered with people who were suffering and helped them out and say, how can we help you and how can we serve you because you are suffering right now? Instead of saying, well, they're suffering, I'm not my problem, and we just go on. No, 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 no. That's not how the church is supposed to work. We're a body. When one person suffers, we suffer with them. And if a member is honored, all rejoice with it. Instead of going, why'd they get that and I didn't get that, right? And instead of let envy kind of jump into our lives and cause us to divide even more. It says, do you understand what we do? We rejoice when there is good news, when there's exciting news. It's not we look at them and go, they get everything, right? They just must be blessed. God must love them more than me because they get everything, right? You're scrolling through their Instagram going, why do they get every good thing that happens to them, okay? And no. When they're honored, when something good happens, we get to rejoice with them. So, let me start making some summary statements about everything that we just kind of read through so you understand why this is so important. First, the church is not a place you join or you go to. Rather, it is a body you are an essential part of. Now, this is important. It's not just a place you join, okay? This isn't the country club. This isn't the Rotary Club, okay? This is a community service club that you join. Oh, I join, okay? I get extra points in heaven for this, okay? No, that's not what the church is, okay? And somehow we've lost that, and we have people who think that. Oh, it's another club. And in certain sections of the country, you've got to understand, people running for certain offices, they need to have on their resume, hey, I'm a member of so-and-so church, because it makes it look good on their resume and it boosts them. Are they a part of the body? Probably not. Some are, some aren't. Why? Because, well, I just got to be a part of it. It is not just a club or a place that you join or you go to, okay? It'd be simple to say, oh, well, church is Sunday morning. It's at 10 o'clock if I go in person, and if I watch online, I could really watch any time during the week, right? So it could be any time. And that is my church. No, you have that wrong. It is not a place you go to. It's not just something for you online that you just watch. You are an essential part of it. And if you miss that, then you are going to miss what God intends for you. That even through a screen, you can be an essential part of the body of Christ. That it doesn't mean you have to be here in person. It doesn't mean you have to be in the building. Throughout the week, you are an essential part of the body. And if we could start thinking like that, it might change things. Instead of I just compartmentalize my life. And Sunday morning at 10 o'clock is church. And there's a certain way I dress at church, and there's certain language I use at church, and there's certain things I do at church, and there's things I don't do at church, and make sure nobody knows, right? And then I leave church, and then I go to my regular life, and then I'm going to have my work life, and my work life includes certain work language and certain, you know, colorful four-letter words that I probably wouldn't say in my church life, but it's okay in my work life because everybody talks that way. And we wonder why we've confused ourselves. And we wonder why we've stunted our spiritual growth in Christ. Because this is what we've created. Church is here, work is here, family's here, and we just get to be different people in different places. That's crazy. And we're going to drive each other crazy, and we're going to miss out on what God wants to do in us if we don't consider that we are an essential part of the body throughout the entire week. Not just on Sunday at 10 a.m. when I come, or Sunday whenever I'm watching. That's the only time I think about church. That's the only time I go. No, it's not a club. It's not a place you join. It's not a place that you go to. Rather, you are an essential part of it. Okay, second part. This goes into giving. In the church, we don't pay dues. Okay, like, oh, well, I'm a member. I should pay my dues. What are my dues? Okay, no. If that's what you think giving is, you've got it wrong. And I just want to help us all understand it this morning, because I think we miss this. And we think, oh, I'm a member. I should write a check every now and then, right? I should pay online every now and then. No. We do not pay dues. Rather, we sacrificially give to accomplish our God-given mission. That's what we do. And if everybody would do that, we would never have any problems. Okay? We wouldn't. We would have no problems with paying bills and doing things and carrying out our mission. We'd never have a single problem. We never a single meeting go, oh my goodness, okay? What are we going to do to remind everybody that we need them to give, okay? And right, because we have those conversations quite often. If we would just understand, I'm not giving dues. I am a part of this church. I'm an essential part of this church. I care about the church's mission, which is what? To lead people in a growing relationship with Christ. So therefore, I'm going to sacrificially give to accomplish our God-given mission. Okay? At the beginning of the month, and I was going to wait till next week, but Denny told me this morning, so I'm going to share it this morning. So beginning of the month, okay? So January, whatever it was, the first Sunday of the month. Okay, I've forgotten already. It was too long ago. So whatever first Sunday of the month was, stood up here and told you on how much we accomplished this year with our debts. And that made a huge difference this month, okay? Because we went from like 14,000 at the beginning of the month when I told you that number to now we're like at 8,500. Is that what you told me, Denny? Right around 8,500. That's incredible, okay? That's incredible. Well, what happened this month? Well, we reminded you again, and we had people who said, you know, I got the stimulus check here. Here, take it, put it towards the mortgage. Some people gave special gifts. We had an incredible month, okay? This whole thing when we started it on Time to Thrive was, could we get enough people, okay, to work together to make a huge difference, okay? And that's all that happens. People work together to make a huge difference. And if we could do this all the time, we would never have a single budgetary problem ever in the church, okay? And that's probably true for every church out there, okay? But we don't think of it that way quite often, that I'm an essential part of this, and God has blessed me, and I get to take what God has blessed me with, and I get to use that and watch God do something incredible in our community and in the lives of people and all over the place because I choose to give. That's far different than, well, I'm a member, I guess I gotta write out a check, it's time to pay my dues. Okay, that's far different. That is far different. So let's start thinking about it the right way. Why we give? We give because we have a chance in working together to accomplish our God-given mission in our community, to what we say is what to the nuns, the duns, and the unduns that we care about so much, and we're looking for ways to continue to make a difference in. The goal is always for the church is unity in diversity, but not uniformity. This is a huge, right? This is what was going on in Corinth. If you want to know what was going on with Corinth, there was this gift, and they all wanted that gift. And like, they got mad if they didn't have that gift. We have the same problem. There's certain gifts that we would love to have, we would like to have. And so sometimes we think, if I don't have that gift, I'm not important. No. The goal is unity in diversity. That's what it's supposed to be. That we're different. We come from different backgrounds. different places. We are different stages in our walk with Christ. And yet, together in this body, we're one. And that means I don't look like everybody else or talk like everybody else. Or, this is the model and everybody's got to be the model and have all these gifts. Nope. It's that I understand how God has gifted me. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to use it and be an essential part of the church that he has placed me in. So, here's my question for you today. What pictures do we have which make us see the church differently than a body? That's something I want you to think about. What picture do I have? Okay? Do I think the church is the country club? Okay? I pay my dues, right? So I get my green fees and I go out there and, hit a ball around, right? Is it a club? Is it a social club? What picture do you have of the church? Because we all have a picture. Some of it is, it's this building. That's my picture of the church, okay? I want you to consider what your picture is when you hear the word church. Is it different than the church is a body? And we all are essential pieces and parts of that body. And when we work together, we can accomplish anything that God has set before us to accomplish. So here's my final statement this morning. This is my church. God has saved me and he has gifted me to be an essential part of this body. If I could accomplish anything, it would just to get this to just a little bit sink into you. Because if this sank into you, you would think about church totally differently. That this is my church. This is where God has placed me. I love this church. I love it that I have been here for a long time. This is my church. God has saved me. I didn't save myself. God saved me. Rescued me, redeemed me. Because that's what the church is. The rescued and redeemed of the Lord coming together. Right? So God has saved me. And then on top of that, he has gifted me to be an essential part of this body. If that could sink in, what a huge difference it could make. Because all of a sudden, you wouldn't think about church as a club you join or a place you go to, but in a body that you are an essential part of. And we're just going to ask God to allow this to sink deep in our hearts today, that we would consider what would it look like if I started living this way and thinking about the church this way. So we're going to pray. We're just going to ask God to help us to wrestle with this question and with this statement about who we are as a church. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we saw how simple Paul was in trying to help a church understand who they were. A church that struggled because everybody wanted the same gift. A church that struggled because people were going ahead of others when they would do simple things like taking communion together. A church that struggled loving one another, and it was ultimately because they struggled with their differences. But they were different. That they were gifted different. Created different, had different backgrounds. But when they gathered, they got to be one. They struggled with that, Father, as much as we struggle with that. Especially, Father, over this last year. I'm not sure how many people thought they were essential to their church when they couldn't go to a building. And Father, it's been a hard road to get out of that. To get your people using the gift that you've given to them again. And so we've struggled and we've had challenges with that. And so I pray that, Father, we would tread in a new direction today. That you would ask us what we would ask really deeply, what picture do I have of the church? And if it's something other than the body, we're probably missing out on what you have for us. I pray that every single person, watching and in this room would understand that you love them, you have gifted them, you have saved them. They are an essential part of this body, whether they ever walk in this door or not. That watching from home, they can participate and be an essential part of the body. So help us to renew that once again, that we would understand our gifting from you, and that we wouldn't allow envy to take over and wish we had someone else's gift. Rather, we would move forward, understanding all you want to do within our midst and as part of this church. We've heard a lot this year about things that were non-essential. That isn't the church, and that isn't the members and the parts that you've put in this body. We all have a part to play. It's all essential. May we carry it out, Jesus, for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.